Welcome to the weekly podcast from City Light Church in Lethbridge. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CLC, please visit our website at citylightchurch.ca.
Good to be in the house of God, isn't it? We started a brand new series. What's it called? Anybody know what it is? It's called Easter, right? All right. So we're going to talk about celebrating Easter. We're heading towards the greatest event, the celebration of the greatest event in history called Easter, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. So we're going to talk about Easter, and we're going to have a special message. We're going to talk about the cross, but can we just bow our heads and bless this time in the Word of God? Thank you, Father, for gathering every single person here, each one so precious in your sight. And I pray that, Lord, our ears will be open to hear your word. Help us to hear your word. Help us to receive your word, believe it, and combine it with faith. And then give us the grace and the power to put it into action so that it brings glory to you and it blesses our life richly. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. So today I'm going to talk to you about power. We're going to talk about the power of the cross. Can you say with me that word? Somebody say power. Power. We're going to talk about the power of the cross. Let me talk to you first about a different type of power, okay? Space. Space is called the final frontier. At least that's what Captain Kirk called it, right? Now, you know, it just seems like it's just a few years ago, just a few decades ago, that people thought that it was absurd, impossible for man to ever get into space, into outer space. And we know, and to get onto the moon would be absurd and impossible. But we know it's possible, right? Because it's already been done. And many people have actually gotten up to and into space. And it's also amazing when you think about it. It's amazing that man has this capability, this brain power, this ingenuity, this creativity, this engineering, this wisdom to be able to create a spacecraft that can get from planet Earth into outer space and actually have people walking on the moon. Wow. And to create a space station in outer space. It's amazing. You know, there have been several space shuttles that have been created by the USA. Some of them are the space shuttle Columbia, Discovery, Enterprise, and Atlantis. And this is a picture of the space shuttle Atlantis. And when you think about the space shuttle and what it took to build that thing, you know, what it took to be, it caught each shuttle cost about $1.7 billion to build. And it took a long time to make it. Had to be made very carefully. It's an incredible thing, the space shuttle. The last space shuttle was launched in July the 10th, 2011. And it was the space shuttle Atlantis. You know, and sitting on that launch pad, it weighs a little over 4.5 million pounds. 4.5 million pounds. So we have this thing which weighs 4.5 million pounds, and you got to get it off the ground and get it into space within 8 minutes. It takes tremendous power. Watch this. Watch the screen.
T-minus 90
way
seconds
louder.
And counting. All systems are go. We're about 90 seconds from the launch of Space Shuttle Discovery. T-minus 60 seconds and counting. you're transferring to orbiter internal power at this time. Discovery is now running off its 3 onboard fuel cells. Coming up on a go for auto sequence start. Yeah, we have a go for auto sequence start. Discovery's onboard computers have primary control of all the vehicle's critical functions. T-minus 17 seconds and counting. 15, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. Start, 2, 1, boost ignition, and liftoff of the Space Shuttle Discovery, returning to the space station, paving the way for future missions beyond.
Engine nozzles to swivel, aiming the shuttle for its precise target in space for main engine cutoff.
Wow. Wow.
Okay, there.
Wow. Wow. Think about it. It took 8 minutes to get that shuttle into space. It was using, when it was taken off, half a ton of fuel in 1 second. Wow. It's amazing, right? That shuttle travels up to the speed of 17,000 miles per hour. Can you imagine that? And Roger Neilson thought his bike was fast, right? 17,000 miles per hour. They say the Earth's circumference, the distance around the world, is 24,906 miles. That means that shuttle can go around the Earth in less than an hour and a half. Wow! Now, I would say that thing is moving, right? Everybody, every one of us would have to agree that takes, it has, a lot of power, doesn't it? Right? But you know, as fast and as powerful as the shuttle is, and as powerful as its launch, man's perhaps greatest achievement in power pales in comparison to the power that was released through the cross of Christ. Amen? It pales in comparison. You know, today, To many people, the cross is just a symbol. It's just a symbol with little or even no meaning to it. You know, and to some people, it's just a fashion symbol that you wear around your neck. But the cross is not just a symbol with little meaning or little power. The cross has tremendous power. See, the cross, we need to understand that the cross represents, to us, the people of God, the cross represents a supernatural story that resulted in a supernatural life with supernatural abundance and blessings in our life today. Amen? That's the power of the cross. You know, and you look at the cross. You look at the cross. Just one look at the cross. The picture, the cross tells the story in just one picture. Just one picture. You know, I looked at the cross, and immediately, when I think about what the cross means, I'm thankful. I am so thankful because the cross reminds me that I'm forgiven. I've been accepted by God. I am forgiven. I am free of every terrible thing I've ever done in my life and every terrible thing I will ever do. And the cross has given me a brand new start, a new life with new purpose, new power. Gives me a passion to live the plan of God in my life. And the cross did all of that. The power and significance of the cross has huge significant ramifications, way greater than the lifting off of a shuttle going into space. Amen? That's me. I look at the cross. That's what I feel. And we as a church, one of the reasons why we, every Sunday morning, why we gather to celebrate and to worship and we sing and we shout. And why do we do that? We do that because we know what was done for us at the cross. That's why we do it. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 17. The Apostle Paul said, "For Christ didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the good news." You look at the cross, and the cross shouts, "Good news, good news." And not with clever speech, for fear that the cross would lose its power. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. And the power of God is extended into our lives today. Amen? What happened 2,000 years ago ripples down even to today. And that's why I say, as believers, as Christians, we need to understand the power of the cross. So I want to give you a very simple message on the power of the cross. I'm going to give you five things that the cross gives to us today, right? And so here are the five things. Number one, the cross equals love. The cross equals love. The cross literally shouts out to us the love of God that he has for us today. You know, it's one thing to say it, but it's another thing to show it. And God did not just say he loved us. The Bible says that God so loved us. It didn't say God loved us. It says God so, can you say that with me? So loved us that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life, supernatural life, an abundant life, starting here, right now, today, and forever. God so loved the world. That's John, what is it? What scripture is it? John 3:16. And if there's ever been a scripture that's been declared, that's been preached, that's been spoken by anyone more times, that's been explained, it's been, you know, no one has done it more than the late, great Reverend Billy Graham. He's preached that scripture so many times. Every time he preached, when I was a kid, this dates me, black and white TV, Billy Graham would come on. He's preaching the cross. He's preaching that scripture. I knew that scripture when I was a boy, just a young boy. I've heard that scripture. What a powerful scripture. John 3:16 has been called the world's greatest text, the greatest text in the Bible, the gospel in a nutshell, the synopsis of the Bible, best known verse in the Bible, the golden text of the Bible, everybody's text, the little Bible, and the text that tells it all. Someone said, it's up there on the screen, it is an ocean of thought in a drop of language. It's an ocean of thought in just a drop of language. See, the cross tells us, the cross shouts us and tells us that God so loved us. Amen? Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18, "And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. And here Paul is trying to explain, tells us that the breadth of God's love, the breadth of God's love is from pole to pole. The length of God's love reaches way back into eternity, and it reaches forward into eternity in the future. It's never ending for us. The height of God's love reaches down from heaven, and the depths of God's love reaches down to you and me right where we are today. Amen? The cross answers the question, how far would God go to redeem mankind? How far would God go to redeem mankind? And the cross answers, all the way. All the way. There was no hesitation. There was no holding back in what God gave to us. And so on your PowerPoint, the cross reveals the intensity of God's love for you and for me. Amen? You know? And I say there's no way that we could possibly probe, possibly understand the depths of God's love for us. That adverb is so. God so loved the world. Amen? How many of you are thankful today for the love of God? How many of you are thankful for the love of God? Amen. Amen. Number two, here's another reason why we are so thankful for the cross. The cross equals forgiveness. Forgiveness. The cross represents the liberation of man from the guilt of sin. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? How many of you here have felt the heaviness in your soul because of sin? How many of you felt that? Yeah. You know, even before we were Christians, we knew that there were some things we were not supposed to do that were damaging, destroying to other people and to ourselves. We knew that, didn't we? Right? We knew that sin wasn't good for us. See, the guilt of sin weighs heavy upon the soul. And we just want to get rid of it, don't we? And I see people walking around downtown in my everyday, I see people, and I could tell there's a heaviness in their soul because they're carrying the weight of sin, and they just want to get rid of it. They just want to be free, but they don't know what to do and how to do it, right? I'll give you a story. When I was a little kid, we used to live on a farm in Coaldale, and my dad was a farmhand, and we lived on the farm, and we were the and he was the laborer, and he was the top hand on the farm. It was a beautiful farm, a great farm, but one day, a stray dog wandered onto the farm, and you know what they usually did with stray dogs? Shoot them. Well, one day this stray dog wandered onto the farm. And we did what we shouldn't have done as kids. See, we never had any pets, but we really wanted a dog. So this dog came along, and we did what my dad told us not to do. We fed it. We fed it, and we started to play with it, and we started to love it, and it started to love us back. And I can't remember his name, but I think it might have been Spot. Let's say Spot. And we loved Spot. Spot was our friend. He was our pet, and we loved it. But Spot had a bad habit. It got into the chicken coop one day, ended up killing a chicken. And about a few days later, got in again, killed another chicken. You know what they did with dogs that kill chickens? They shot them, you know. But we begged my dad, we begged the farmer to say, please don't kill Spot. We love him, he's our friend, you know. So you know what they did? Instead of killing him, what they did is they took the carcass of that dead chicken and they tied it around its neck with binder twine and they left it on him for days and would be weeks. So that dog would just drag himself along with this dead, stinking weight of sin around his neck. And it was miserable. After days and even a couple of weeks, they finally cut the rope and they released that dead, stinking weight of sin from his neck. You should have seen that dog. It's like it had a brand new life again. It was free. It was happy. The cross gets rid of the guilt of sin. The guilt of sin on your part weighs heavy upon the soul. The forgiveness of sin liberates and frees the soul. Where are you at right now? Have you got sin in your heart? Have you got unforgiveness in your heart? The power of forgiveness liberates the soul. Colossians 2 verse 13, Paul said, "You were dead because of your sins, and because your sinful nature had not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross." Wow. The penalty of sin was paid, and the power of sin was broken at the cross. Amen. How many are you thankful for forgiveness today? Aren't you thankful for forgiveness? Amen. You know, the cross is also a reminder that we need to continue to live a life of forgiveness. Live a life of forgiveness. You know, and I believe that a lot of people can't forgive other people because they're starting at the wrong place. They need to start forgiving themselves. And maybe that's us too. We need to start forgiving ourselves. Sometimes I'm my worst accuser, because I think, man, I blew it. I said the wrong thing. Why did I do it? I'm just a sinner. I'll never change. You know, and the first thing that I need to do is I need to forgive myself. Because after I forgive myself, then I could forgive other people, right? And the cross tells us, don't let any wrong, don't hold on to any wrongdoing. Just let it go. The cross says to us, let it go. Amen. And let God bring justice into your life. Amen. Number three, the cross equals grace. Cross equals grace. You know, grace is God's goodness. Grace defined is God's favor, God's unmerited, unearned favor, right? Another definition of grace I like is, grace is the power to do what we can't do ourselves in our own strength. Amen? But I also like this definition. Grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. Grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. You know, we pray, God answers our prayers. God meets all our needs, right? Why does he do that? Because we deserve it? No, because of grace. See, God gives us salvation. We don't deserve salvation. We're saved by grace. God, we don't deserve the good things of God, the blessings of God, but because of his grace, we get what we don't deserve. Paul said to the Ephesians 2 verse 8, God saved you by his grace when you what? When you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's the gift of God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. Salvation is a gift. God's favor is a gift to us, and it's totally unearned. I love what Rex Yancey, he's an author, he's a Christian pastor, he said these words. Religion is what we can do for God. Men through the centuries have tried to appease the gods. Christianity is what God is. Christianity is what God can do for man. There are many who have a do religion. What we need is a done religion. Amen? Once we have received Christ, we can stop working so hard for him. Not because we have to, but because we want to. The cross equals the blessings of God. The cross equals the favor of God. The cross equals the goodness of God that we do not deserve. Amen? Are you thankful for grace? Thankful for grace. Number four. Couple more. Number four. The cross equals peace. Peace. The Bible says that Jesus through the cross became our propitiation for sins. You heard that word propitiation? He became our propitiation for sins. King James Version, 1 John 2 verse 2. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. 1 John 4 verse 10. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and he sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins, the sacrifice for our sins, the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Propitiation, defined, means something that makes peace by satisfying the demands. Something that makes peace by satisfying the demands. The Greek word for peace is the word, I don't think I'm pronouncing this right, but it's Irene, or close to that, Irene. So what does that mean? This word describes an inner sense of the prosperity of your soul. A prosperity of your soul. Okay? This peace generates within us a feeling that all is right, that all is well, despite the circumstances that are happening around you. Have you ever experienced real peace? It's the calming of the soul. It's like, no matter what's happening, no matter how difficult, no matter what calamity is happening around you, something within your soul is calm and it's peaceful. And you're not going nuts, right? Let me give you an example. Let's say Revenue Canada calls you and just tells you that you owe $50,000 in back taxes. Ever happened to you that? Has that ever happened? It's happened to us. Maybe not that much money, but let's see, scenario. Revenue Canada calls you, you owe $50,000 in back taxes, and they expect it to be paid back immediately. Start paying up, or we're going to send you to jail. You can't even pass go. We'll send you right to jail. Right? That's the way they say it. They're mean, right? Start paying up. You owe us. And we're going to tack on all this interest too as well. So, are you going to have much peace? Probably not. So in order to pay this, because you're just making it, barely making it, you set up a payment plan with Revenue Canada. I mean, they're gracious that way, right? Right? And so you got to pay $1,000 or $2,000 off every month. But in order to do that, I'm going to not pay my mortgage payments for a few months. So what's happening while you're trying to pay them back is that you've got back payments and mortgage payments backing up. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Are you going to have peace? How much peace are you going to have? Little or no peace, right? You go to bed at night and you have no peace. You wake up in the morning and you have no peace. But then let's say somebody comes along. Somebody, yeah. And he contacts Revenue Canada on your behalf and he pays every last cent of what you still owe in back taxes to Revenue Canada. But not only that, he goes to your bank and he pays off all the back payments on your mortgage and he pays off the balance of your existing mortgage. Yeah. Question, how are you going to sleep tonight? Whoa. You're going to sleep like a baby, aren't you? All those hours wrestling with worry and no peace, suddenly just taken away. Now you experience great peace. And that's what God did for us. The cross satisfies all the demands placed upon you. Christ through the cross paid for it all. And now you can have peace. Not because of anything that we could do, but because who he is and what he's done for us through the cross. Amen. If you've got debts today, God can help you get out of it. Amen. He's got a grace and power. You just kind of need to come into a plan. We're going to talk about, in the future, how you can get out of debt. You can really get into the prosperity of God and the place of God so you can bless other people, right? When you're in debt, you can't pay anyone. We're not talking about finance. We've been debt set free from the power of sin and death and anything that we've ever done. Amen? What a great debt has been paid on our behalf. Isaiah 53 verse 4, Surely he took up our pain, and he bore our suffering. Yet we consider him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And here we go. The punishment that brought us, what? Peace was put on who? On him. And by his stripes, by his wounds, we are healed. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Are you thankful for peace today? Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did for me. One more big one. The cross equals hope. Cross equals hope. All hope is made possible through the cross of Christ. The first and the greatest hope we have is the hope of ongoing, never-ending, eternal life. It's life with the people that you love. In this new place called heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem, it's a place of great peace, a great joy, great happiness, you know, and it just goes on forever, ongoing, never-ending, eternal life. Amen? I want to say that there's more to life than this world. More to life than this world. There's more future that God has for you. Amen? I believe in the heart of every person is this deep inner sense that there's something beyond where you are at right here and now. Amen? And I believe that one day, every one of us, when we draw our last breath, do you believe that's going to happen to you one day? It's going to happen to every single person here. One day, you're going to draw your last breath. And when you do that, you're going to have a deep inner sense and awareness that there is something beyond, something better, something greater, something eternal that God has prepared for me. Ongoing, a place of joy, a place of happiness, a place of no pain, no sorrow, all made possible through the cross. Jesus did it all for us. The cross equals hope. To lots of people, the cross, the Bible says, is a mystery. The cross to some is foolishness. Some people look at the cross and they just see the pain and the sorrow of the cross. They see the pain and the sorrow that Jesus took. Yeah, the cross is about pain and sorrow, but it's so much more. Because of the cross, you and I today, we can have victory and we can have triumph in our life. Amen? You and I are the direct beneficiaries of the cross. Romans 8, verse 35. Paul said, can anything ever separate us from God's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, angels nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. Wow. The cross gives us victory. Victory. Victory over sin. Victory over hardships and troubles and sins and worries. He gives us victory. And a cross enables us to live a life for God with passion and with purpose. To live out God's plan in such a way it gives glory to his name. Amen? Amen. You know, I just give you five reasons why we should love the cross so much. Now, Chris Tomlin has a wonderful praise hymn called The Mighty Power of the Cross. And the words go like this. The mighty of the power of the cross. What can take a dying man and raise him to life again? What can heal a wounded soul? What can make us white as snow? What can fill the emptiness? What can mend the brokenness? What restores our faith in God? What reveals the Father's love? What can lead the wayward home? What can melt the heart of stone? What can free the guilty ones? What can save and overcome? Mighty, awesome, wonderful is the Holy Cross, where the Lamb laid down his life to lift us from the fall. Mighty is the power of the cross. Wow. Tremendous words that say it all, right? You know, when I look at the cross, it reminds me. What does it remind me of? It reminds me of God's love. It reminds me that I am forgiven. It reminds me. Keep on going. One more. Of God's grace. It reminds me of the peace that I have in my heart, my soul, because I'm right with God. I'm accepted by God. And reminds me that there's way more to this life. And it reminds me that I can live this out, this life out, with passion, with purpose, in the blessings of God. I can live an abundant life of great significance that blesses God, extends his kingdom. And I've got something huge waiting for me after this life is over. Amen? You know, God gives us a place so much better than where we are right now. Is it going to be a place where we're never going to get tired? We're never going to be stressed out? And you'll love this one. We're never going to grow old. You're going to be like you're 30 again, I believe, right? What a blessing. God has given the blessing of the hope of never ending, ongoing, eternal life. So let's live our life today so that it makes our significance in the future. Amen? I want to ask you one more time. How many of you are thankful for the cross? How many of you thank for the cross? Let's thank him for the cross. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross. Thank you for love. Thank you for the forgiveness that you give us. Thank you for the grace that you give us. Thank you for the peace that we have. And we thank you for the hope of heaven for everyone. And I pray that, Father, today that we would take up our cross and we would give what you gave to us. When you gave us your love, forgiveness, grace, and peace and hope, help us now to be the vessels as we carry our cross to give love, forgiveness, grace, peace, and hope to everyone we come in contact with who needs it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen? Amen. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the cross. This week, I'll give you an assignment. Here's what you can do. Take every one of these five great blessings, benefits. And I just give you five. I can give you a list that goes on. I could preach till all night talking about all the great benefits that God has given us. But take these five key things that God has given us. Take each one. Meditate on it. Meditate on God's love for you. Meditate what it means to be forgiven. Think about it. Think about it. What grace. Meditate on each one of these. And then think on each one. And then thank him. And then praise him. And then live in such a way that you could extend all and give all these things to people around you. Amen? Amen? Please bow your heads. Thank you, Father. Today I want to speak to someone. You may be here today and you've never accepted. You've never received the finished work of Jesus on the cross for you. You've never invited Christ into your heart to be your Lord and Savior. I want to say today, if that's you, today is a new day for you. Today is an opportunity for a brand new day, a brand new life to begin. It's a day where you begin to have hope beyond this life. You know, you can put your hope in a lot of things, but God is saying today, put your hope in Jesus. So if that's you, and you've never put your hope in Christ, you've never actually personally invited him by saying a prayer and inviting Christ into your heart, I wanted you to do that with me today. If you're ready to do that, will you repeat this prayer after me? In fact, can I have all of us repeat this prayer together? Here we go. Say this to the Lord. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my heart. I put my hope, I put my faith, I put my confidence in the finished work of the cross. And I receive you, and I receive you today into my heart to be Lord and Savior of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Now, if you said that prayer for the very first time, I want you to raise your hand and I want you to hold it up. Is there anyone you said that prayer first time?